10,000 reasons. After this song, I'd like you to give me a few reasons that you've had to bless the Lord, or what that means to you. And as always, feel free to share your testimonies, prayer requests, whatever you have in between our songs.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Time this morning to name the 10,000 reasons, but how about a few of them at least? Doesn't stop there. I don't even think we got to 10 there, much less 10,000. They are a very good 10. What are you worth? there value in your strength, in your own flesh? Is that where you find your value this morning?
None.
It's not in what I own. It's not in who I am. Let's see what this... Amen. Let's see what this song says. Where our worth is. The first lines here tell us where it's not. Let's see where it is.
My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame.
Satisfied in Him alone this morning. I hope that's the desire of each heart. I believe that's something that continues to grow or should continue to grow in each one of us. I can't say that I'm 1,000% at that spot, but the Lord, I believe, keeps changing my life in that direction, that my soul will be satisfied in Him alone.
I am not skilled to understand.
I am not skilled to understand.
What God has willed, what God has planned.
What God has willed, what God has planned.
I only know at His right hand.
I only know at His right hand.
Stands one who is my Savior. I take Him at His word indeed.
I take Him at His word indeed.
Christ died to save me. I read.
Christ died to save me, this I read.
And in my heart I find a need.
And in my heart I find a need.
Of Him to be
solace from this grief.
I seek my solace from this grief.
That he who lives to be my king.
That he who lives to be my king.
Once died to be my Savior.
Anything to share? No matter where you are, he lives, he loves, even if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He's still there. He never lets go. Tiffany picked out our song list for this morning, and I think she did a pretty good job of picking this list. A couple of these songs have some harder spots or the arrangements in them. This song and the next one, both of them have some different arrangements toward the end, so just follow along the best you can.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know.
never lets go, He will always make a way.
You are here.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just blessed that Brother Angel told me this morning about the anointing and Henry's testimony last Sunday, how when the Holy Spirit is among us, He does things through us and in us. And as I was reflecting on Henry's testimony and the person who was saved and found Jesus to be their personal Savior through him sharing the gospel, I was just really encouraged again this morning that, you know, we can have a good meeting, we can have good fellowship, but there's a difference when there's an anointing here and the Holy Spirit is moving in our midst. That's when each one of us has that encounter with God on a personal level.
Amen.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you.
Keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that
about that confusion at the beginning of the song there, Lucas, on the slides. That was my fault. So don't blame him for the slides not being in order. We live in a broken world. I don't think there's anybody here that will deny that. But one day, we have that promise. Amen. It'll all be made new. Come on up here. I want you to sing a couple songs with me. Sherry, Eden, come on up here. Come on. I need you. Come stand over here behind these microphones. Everyone come stand around me. Hmm. Well, I guess it's going to be you guys this morning. Well, I think you know these songs that we're going to sing, but we're going to sing along to a couple of songs. And I'm pretty sure you know them. Let's see if I can find them here. So gather around up here, and I want you to sing out with this music.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Sit along the front here. All right, I'm going to do something a little bit different this time. Instead of telling you a story, I'm going to ask you questions. We're going to do a little bit of a Bible quiz, and I'm going to include Sherry and Eden in this, even though they were not quite happy enough to come up here and join us. See what you missed out on? Could have been up here on stage singing with all of us. It would have been so much fun. Your parents would have had this big smile on their face. All right. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions about the Bible. And if you know the answer, you listen to me carefully. And if you know the answer, you raise your hand, and then I'll ask you to answer it and see if you know what these answers are. And that's going to tell me how much you know about your Bible and Bible stories. Okay? All right. So, you all have Bibles? You all have Bibles? Okay. What is the name of the first book in the Bible? Tiffany knows?
Genesis.
Yep, Genesis. Do you know what the second one is? Nope. Okay. Well, that gives us something to work on at home. Learn the books of the Bible. Right? Remember, do you remember that God gave 10 commandments to the children of Israel? You ever hear that story? Do you know any of them? You all know them. Oh, boy. Eden, do you know? Sherry? All right. Well, we got something else to work on at home, too. Yes. Honor your mother and father. That is one of them. That's a good one. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's right. You're getting them. Good job. That's right. Hey, you guys are doing a good job teaching your kids. I don't even know if my kids have remembered them. Do you know any of them? Don't steal? Yeah. All right. Here's another story. Or another question. You remember the ark? What was the ark? Someone tell me. Okay. How many of each animal came onto the ark? Two of each one. Who built the ark?
Noah.
Let's see if I can find some more questions for you. Who were the first people that God created? Adam and Eve. All right. Why did Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden?
They ate of the tree of knowledge and good and evil.
And God had to take them out of the garden. Now let's talk about Jesus for a little bit. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized? All right. Who baptized Jesus? Do you remember?
John.
John the Baptist. And then when Jesus died, how many days was Jesus in the grave?
3 days.
Some of you younger ones, see if you can answer this one. How many disciples did Jesus have? Do you remember how many disciples Jesus had?
300?
Well, there was a time that he did, but there were... Tiff, do you have a
12?
Those were the three original ones. All right. Remember we talked about the Ten Commandments? Who did God give those commandments to? When he wrote them down on a stone, you remember who he gave them to?
Moses.
All right. Here's another one about a young man that his father gave him a coat that had a lot of colors on it. It was made of all different sorts of colors. It was a really fancy coat. Who was that? Who got this really fancy coat given to you? Yes. No. Let's try again. Sherry. Joseph. That's right. And what did his brothers think about that? Were his brothers happy with that? They didn't think it was fair. All right. Let's see if we can find any more here. We talked about God creating Adam and Eve. How did he create Adam? What did he use to create Adam?
Dust.
Dust. What did he use to create Eve? The rib of Adam. That's right. And let's go back to the books of the Bible. Do you remember I said that I asked you what the first book of the Bible was? Tiffany said Genesis. Do you know how many books there are in the Bible?
She got one.
I'm gonna wait on that. Do you know how many books in the Bible there are? No. That's your homework for this week. You guys all like homework, right?
Me too.
You guys all like homework? I want you all to figure it out this week or have your parents help you and come back next week
and tell me how many books are in the Bible. Is that a deal? Yeah. All right, you can go back to your parents.
I can use you. I'm good. Okay. All right. Thanks, Anthony, for sharing that. I had to think on some of those questions myself. especially the last one. I think I know how many there are, but I'm not sure if I'd want to say my number, so I might have to do a little studying myself. Before we get started, I just want to read a few verses of encouragement this morning. I'm not going to make any comments on them. I just want to read them. In Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And then the beginning of verse 14 says, I will be found by you. And I'm sure I've read these before, but I just, again, this morning as I was thinking, I just was like, I think those are probably some of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's just speaks of hope and that we can have our faith and trust in God. So anyhow, good morning, everyone, and we welcome each one of you to the service. Some of the announcements that we have for this morning, there's going to be lunch following the service. Everyone's welcome to stay for that. And also, the Resource Center annual gala is scheduled for this Thursday. So those of you that are going to that, also prayer Saturday morning again at 7. Every Saturday morning here at 7 there's a prayer service, and the men's Bible book study Wednesday, March 13th at John Esch's house. So those are a few of the announcements that we have for this week. Also, there's some birthdays this month. Slide isn't working this morning, so I'll just read them out. Lucas Lapp, Judd Yoder, Anika Gomez, I'm probably not saying that right, but forgive me, and Jenny Fowler. So let's just sing a happy birthday to them, and yeah, wish them a blessed month. So happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear everyone, happy birthday to you. All right, before we start the main service too, I just want to remember some of the people that are traveling in prayer, Carrie and Saretta and their family and the youth, Ellie and Christy. And and I'd also like to just pray for John this morning again. And so let's pray, and then we'll... Father in heaven, we just come to you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you, and you're faithful, and you love us and care for each one of us. And I thank you for each one that's here. And I just want to pray for Carrie and Sarah and their family and the youth group in Thailand, that you would continue to bless them and protect them, be with them. And I just pray that their work and their trip would be successful, and that they could travel safely home again. You would protect them. Thank you also for Ellie and Christy. I just pray that you would be near to them and give them safe travels. And also for John, I thank you for the grace that is upon him, and I just pray that you continue to be near to him and just be with him throughout the week and those lonely times. I just pray that you he would feel your presence in his life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to turn the time over to Phil for the moderate the rest of the service.
I think this is the one that is loose. This one will hold your Bibles. Did you notice I said your Bibles? let's go up a little higher. There we go. Okay, since this is the first Sunday of the month, we're having our communion, breaking of bread service, and I just want to say to each one of you, I am looking so forward to doing this. I do every month, as the Lord convicted me some time ago, to take the first Sunday of the month and remember Jesus. Remember why we're here and what he's done for us. If you walk through the old covenant that God had with Israel, you'll notice that he asked for the first things. The first month was called Abib. And that was the month that he brought Israel out of Egypt. See, the Lord, when he brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, they were all slaves for 400 years. So he was building a nation. And he had to give them laws of economics, social laws, laws of justice, but also laws of governance and calendar. They had nothing except what the Egyptians had given them. God wasn't, it wasn't about what the Egyptians had come up with. They were established by magicians and evil people. It wasn't from God's heart. So the Lord started over with everything with Israel, including their calendar. And so the month of Abib was their first month. And if you go back in Exodus and Leviticus and you read, especially in Exodus, what the Lord told them to do that month, to remember that God had brought them that great deliverance from slaves to a nation, a world-renowned nation. And the Lord wanted them to remember that, the Passover. And that's exactly what Jesus came to be, to do. When he became our Passover, he called us out. Those who were not a people, those who were not a nation, he called, 1 Peter chapter 2, what does it say? To be a holy nation, a holy people. It called out people, a chosen people. He made us a nation of priests and kings to our God, Revelation 1 says. We weren't anybody in this world. We were Gentiles that David would have killed, in case you think you're somebody special. Except for Jesus Christ, who changed everything. Now he makes us a nation of God's own special people. Don't you think we should celebrate first? I think so. He wanted their first month. He wanted their firstborn. He wanted the first of their tithe, of their income to give to him. He wanted to have first place in everything in their life. And so that's the conviction the Lord put on my heart, to just every first Sunday of the month as a church, remember Jesus, our Passover lamb, who takes away the sins of the world and my own personal sins. And so in the exercise of doing this, the Lord also reminded me as I was reading through Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Paul's encouraging Timothy to do something. And I've noticed as, you know, we fellowship together that we had two of these things that we did regularly and did them well. He says in verse 13, until I come, give attention to public reading of scripture, to exhortation and teaching. And the Lord said to me, you've got the exhortation down, right? You exhort one another, you encourage each other. That word is simply coaching. We do that with each other every Sunday. We teach the Word of God every Sunday. But we were missing the first thing. We weren't coming together and reading Scripture publicly together. And the Lord said, why don't you do that the first Sunday of every month when you celebrate me as the Passover lamb? And so that's why we're beginning this exercise together. That's where that comes from. And also with the encouragement that David had in Psalm 138, where he says this about God's word. Psalm 138, he says, verse 2, I will bow down toward thy holy temple and give thanks to thy name for thy loving kindness and thy truth. Now, we often thank God for his loving kindness, but do you thank him for his truth? Just think about this. What if God was loving and kind all the time to us? Well, he is, right? But what if he was loving and kind but never spoke the truth to you? Could you love him back? It wouldn't be real, would it? How do you think a family would function if a father and a mother would always be loving, doting parents, we call them, and super, super kind to their children, but they would never speak the truth to them? Would you like to hang out with those people? Would you like to work for that guy, those kids, when they grow up? I don't think you would. Because they wouldn't deal with truth. They couldn't handle the truth. They would be, it would spoil us. And you know what we call those people? Brats. God loves us with truth. And this is how he does it. For thou hast magnified. Now that word is the word magnified. How many of you have a magnifying glass? Yep. Have you used it lately? What does it do? When you put it down on a letter, what does it do? It makes it big. It enlarges it. For thou hast enlarged what? Thy word. According to thy name. In some translations it says, above your name. His word is enlarged. We love the name of Jesus. But how big is God's word to you? This exercise will help magnify it in our hearts and in our minds as we come together. So today, you can turn your Bibles with me to John. As I was praying about which verses to read in the last couple of weeks, the Lord has been speaking strongly to me through the book of John of who Jesus said that he is. Remember when Jesus went with his disciples over to Herod's place of sacrifice, where Herod was worshipped and the gods were worshipped, and he took his disciples down there to that very place, and then he looked at him and he said, who do you say that I am? Who do people say that I am? First, he began, who do people say that I am? And then he said, who do you say that I am? And in Matthew 16, this was a place called Caesarea Philippi, by the way. If you look that up, just Google it, you'll find out that that place is still there. You can go and visit it. It's a memorial. It was a shrine of celebrating humanity, mankind. And Jesus took his disciples to that place and said, who do you say, who do people say the Son of Man is? And Peter made this bold confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, oh, Peter, you didn't come up with that on your own. That was the Holy Spirit that revealed that to you. And upon this rock, I will build my church. That confession in your heart, in my heart, and the witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's what communion and the breaking of bread is. It's a celebration of who Christ is. And Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, he that comes to God must believe that he is. Okay? First, faith. You must believe he is. But you must also believe something else. What else is it? He is a rewarder of you. If you seek him, he will reward you. Do you believe that? That's faith. You must believe he is. But there are many people who believe he is. Even the demons do that. James says, the demons believe and they tremble, but they get no reward. They don't believe there's any reward for them because there isn't. Do you have demonic faith? Believe he is and you tremble? Or do you have a faith, a personal faith in Jesus Christ that he is your personal Savior today? He died to save you and me from all of our sins. And he's still our high priest today. So we'll begin with the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And I'm going to go ahead and do the first reading. And then as we've been doing in the last few times, I'm just going to call out on your names. And Isaiah, are you going to pass out the mic? Yep. Isaiah has a mic for you that when I call your name, come up and just read the scripture that I'll give you the reference for. And if some of you, especially you sisters, if you don't feel comfortable coming up here, that's okay. You can read from your seat. I would encourage the men to come on up and anyone who feels comfortable, because it is, there's something a bit more engaging when someone comes up and reads it from here. You can follow along with them a little better. And especially those online, they can follow along a bit better as well. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not put it out. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness that he might bear witness of that light, of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man, every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Now turn your Bibles to chapter 3, verse 1 through 21. Dad, John, would you come? Read John 3, 1 through 21.
John 3, 1 through 21. There was a name of the Pharisees. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto them, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God.
Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also it said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God.
Chapter 5.
Yeah, 5.
Verse 18.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, they were asking.
I'm in the wrong place. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, there also doeth the Son likewise. And for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, that he shall show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. It was through, what, how far? I'm sorry?
Through
32. 32, okay. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quicketh them, even so the Son quicketh whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto light. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear and shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth that they have done good and unto resurrection of life, and that they have done, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true.
So just to break it up a little bit, I'm going to do something a little different. Judd and Megan, would you come up together as a couple and read the next one? And Megan, you can read verse 36 through 38 of John chapter 5, and Judd 39 through 47.
39 through 47. She said you're in John 5.
Yes, John 5.
Okay. 36 through
38. 36 through 38, and then you 39 through 47.
But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me, he has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him who he sent.
Sorry, Phil, you said 39 through 47?
Yes.
Okay. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me, that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another, and do not seek the glory that comes from only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?
I was trying to get Hank to come up here. I didn't hear what the verse was.
I was trying to get him. It's verse chapter 4. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always.
And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
So then the Jews complaining about him because he said, I am the bread that came down of heaven. And then they were saying, this is not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. How does he say, I have come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, stop complaining among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. 48.
Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, and I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
Okay, 59-65. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at his, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, and flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. Oh, sorry.
And he was saying, for his reasons, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it was being granted for him from the Father.
Okay, we're just going to break here and have the breaking of bread together. And what we typically do is we, as we sing a song, we file through, and Dave is going to open those doors there for us. And if you can't file through, someone else will be glad to get the piece of bread and the little cup for you. And we ask that you take it and come back to your seat, and we all wait till everybody has, and then we'll have a prayer together and partake of the bread, and then we'll have another Thanksgiving prayer for the blood of Christ and partake of the cup together. And after that, we'll finish out with some more of the reading. And if you have time and you're inspired, you can share a testimony with that. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 8.